ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Welcome to Fuelcast. I'm Carrington Clark, and this is your source to stay on top of the numbers behind the ongoing global energy crisis. It's Monday, July the 6th. We're recording mid-morning, and since we last checked in, the price of Brent crude has remained steady at around $72 a barrel. Today, once again, I'm joined by Alan Kohler to dig into those major energy headlines. Thanks for joining me, Alan.
G'day, Carrington.
Alan, we have this MOU due to expire in mid-August. We've got the price of Brent crude a little bit, very small amount above what it was before the beginning of this conflict. I think a lot of people have been surprised by how quickly it fell and the fact that it has stayed there. What's your current read about what's going on in international energy markets? And is it possible that this is where it's going to sit for the foreseeable future?
Well, as you say, the crude oil price benchmarks, Brent and the West Texas crude, are back below, well, back at where they were before the war began in late February. So the markets are pretty optimistic that things will turn out okay. Obviously, we'll see what happens there. I mean, they're not negotiating in Islamabad anymore. They're in Doha in Qatar. It seems like they're not in the same room, the two delegations. There seems to be shuttles going on between the Pakistanis and Qatari people are sort of running or going between the two different rooms for some reason. Anyway, that's what seems to be going on. They're not getting anywhere at this point. They're sort of agreeing to keep talking. They haven't agreed, as far as I can tell, to anything at all yet. On the American side, there's Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of Donald Trump, and Steve Witkoff, who's the special envoy. And they've got the deputy foreign minister from Iran there as well. And look, so whether they kind of agree to anything by the middle of August, who knows? But obviously, they can just extend the MOU if they want to.
Alan, we're in this the height of European summer now. Northern Hemisphere summer, I should say. And we have seen major heat waves throughout Europe and different parts of the Northern Hemisphere. And we've also got this period of kind of celebration and commemoration happening. On one hand, the US is having its big 250th birthday. Donald Trump is obviously very focused on that. In Iran, they're having this series of events for the passing of their former supreme leader. What was interesting to me about that was there was a Saudi Arabian delegation in Iran. They've been long-time, obviously, rivals. At the same time, you've also had the UAE apparently last month having a huge increase in the amount of oil that it's pumping out. What do you make of the geopolitics going on over in the Middle East at the moment? And remember, UAE left OPEC during the war while this conflict was raging. What do the shifting kind of relationships potentially mean when it comes to the oil supply and therefore to what prices we might see going forward?
From what I can tell, Iran is damaged, but it's, you know, kind of back on the front foot. It seems to be okay. I mean, its relations in the Gulf are okay. So look, I mean, a lot of people are saying that Iran won the war. It's possibly going a bit far, but because it was quite severely damaged. But it looks to me like Iran's going to get control and retain control of the Strait of Hormuz, along with Oman. And in fact, that's specifically stated in the MOU provisions that those two, Iran and Oman, will be able to control it. The number of ships going through the strait has declined again. It did get up to 60 per day, which was almost half what it was before the war began. I'm having a bit of trouble finding out exactly what it's down to, but so it's somewhere between 10 and 20. One website says 10 and another says 20. So it's kind of well down from where it was 2 weeks ago. And, it's sort of to a trickle. Lloyd's List website, which is the kind of shipping guru, home of all the shipping news, is saying that there's a lot of contract disputes now shaping up for shipping and marine insurance. So there's a lot of problems now arising with insurance going through the Strait of Hormuz, and it looks like the insurance companies are having a lot of trouble thinking about you know, what price they should charge and what the deal should be to allow ships to ensure ships going through the strait. And so that's kind of holding things back at the moment, it seems.
So what I'm partly hearing from you is potentially the current price, which is down about what it was before this war kicked off, isn't taking into account a continuation of an interruption of supply from the Strait of Hormuz. Is it possible that at the moment we're kind of flush with supply because you have this buildup of ships that were fully loaded from Iran or from other Gulf countries, but now that potentially real supply issues will start to be felt, pain will start to be felt in the coming months?
It looks like it. I mean, it seems to me as if, look, the other thing about it is that if Iran and Oman are charging tolls for ships to go through the Strait of Hormuz, then they're going to allow as many ships through as possible, right? Because they're going to make tons of money out of it.
Yeah.
So it seems to me in some ways a toll will be good for the global oil supply, even though it'll be a bit more expensive, because both countries on either side of the strait will be keen to ensure that as many ships get through as possible. So, but that's not what's happening at the moment. And I think at the moment, America is still trying to persuade them not to charge tolls. So, how that ends up, I've obviously got no idea. But I think it looks to me as if they won't call it a toll. They'll call it a service charge or an extra insurance charge or something like that. But I'd say that there'll be extra money going to Iran and Oman for ships going through.
Yeah, tax by any other name. It is starting to look more and more, isn't it, that this will be much like, for example, the trade negotiations Donald Trump has had with Mexico and Canada. He'd hit a deadline, and instead of coming up to a new trade agreement, he's just punted it down the road, and they're just going to do kind of regular checkups. Potentially, that's what ends up happening with this MOU, that it's not fully resolved, but they just keep kicking that can down the line in order to avoid having any sort of major outbreak of conflict, but actually nothing is truly resolved.
Yeah, and that's because, you know, the only way to resolve it is to sign a deal that is the same as or worse than the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Agreement that was cancelled by Donald Trump in 2018. So, you know, obviously he doesn't want to do that. So the longer he can put that off, the better.
Well, one of the lasting impacts might actually be what's happened with electric vehicles here in Australia. We had data out again last week showing it's up to more than 23%. A share of new car sales are now fully electric vehicles, an extraordinary rise. It's risen every month this year. And obviously there's no real end in sight for that. Is that a positive to have come about from this horrible war that's obviously been devastating to the Middle East?
Yeah, I think it's not just electric vehicles. I mean, the whole world has done a sort of a sharp increase in the move to renewable energy in general because of they've realised that getting fossil fuels shipped to them, whether it's oil or coal or whatever, is going to be, you know, a bit more fraught than it was in the past, possibly more expensive because of the possibility of tolls. So I think people are looking to get as much of their energy domestically generated as possible. And I think that's certainly what's going on, and electric vehicles are part of that. So, yeah, I think that is a positive for sure.
And Alan, what lessons do you think potentially the control of the Strait of Hormuz between Oman and Iran, what lessons are potentially going to be learnt by other countries when it comes to other critical waterways?
Oh, well, I think first lesson is think twice before attacking a country that's possibly in control of a waterway. That's hasn't really turned out that well. I mean, whether it means anything for other straits like Malacca, or the Red Sea or so on. Obviously, there's no sign yet of countries doing that. I mean, I don't know what it's going to mean for them, but long term it might mean that countries on both sides of narrow straits start to assert their territorial possession, sure.
And I think you're right. I mean, one of the great ironies might be that this war, which obviously Donald Trump was a key player in, that Donald Trump, the climate skeptic, the man who hates wind farms, might have been a major motivator for people pushing towards renewable energy through this conflict. And it may have actually reshaped at least a lot of parts of the world. America seems to be now a total outlier on this issue, but you've seen a major uptake in electric vehicles, batteries, renewable energy in most parts of the world because of this conflict.
All of which plays into the hands of China,
yeah,
of course, because they've got dominance of the manufacturing of all this stuff, renewable energy and electric vehicles. So, yeah, hasn't really worked out that well for America, has it?
I think that's fair to say. And that's it for this episode and for Fuelcast, at least for the next little while. We're so glad to have had you along for the ride as we track the numbers during this ongoing global energy crisis. And as the movement of energy across the globe continues to change, we'll keep you updated on everything you need to know in our daily podcast, ABC Business Daily. That's also where you'll hear answers to any future fuel questions, so please do keep sending them in. You can find us at ABC Business Daily at abc.net.au. The usual ABC Business Daily will be in your feed later today. Thanks so much for tuning in to All Things Fuel, and thanks so much for helping me unpack it all along the way, Alan. And a reminder, you can always hear Alan Kohler in the ABC Business Daily feed every Friday for That's Business with Alan Kohler. Catch you next time, Alan.
Thanks, Carrington.